Welcome to Pred Wings Podcast, where Smashville and Hockey Town collide. And now your hosts, Brett and Ron White, and D-Law, Dan Lawless.
Hello, welcome to Pred Wings Podcast, episode 89. And a jam-packed playoff teasing show. You can get us on our social media, Pred Wings Podcast, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X and YouTuber at Pred Wings Pod, and our email is predwingspodcast@gmail.com. And with the playoffs just around the corner, the NHL Bracket Challenge returns, and you can get us, obviously you can't fill out the bracket yet because it's not decided yet, but you can register your team and find Pred Wings Podcast, and the password for that is Pred Wings with a capital P.
Very nice. I like it, D-Law. I like it.
So let's see if you can beat us. Playoffs start Saturday, so I'm sure it'll probably be opening Friday, I'm thinking. I don't know how the NHL, because there's some games on Thursday night.
Well, the Wings will be decided either tomorrow or Tuesday.
So the West is pretty much set, but before we're getting into that, before we even get to the recaps, I just want a quick update on our fantasy hockey. We're in a championship, and guess who's in the championship game? I was in first place out of the six teams at 20-3. I made it to the championship game, and I'm playing Pred Hunter, and I'm thinking I know who that is.
I don't know who that could be.
Yeah, the other host. So right now I'm leading 14-24 to 10-84, and this ends on obviously the end of the season Thursday. So I have 28 games remaining, or 28. I guess it would be players, and you have actually both had 28.
Yeah. Of course. I got to make some roster changes here.
Well, I'm projected to win.
Who's coming?
I don't know if you can anymore with the playoffs. I don't know if it's locked or not. But I'm projected to win 2000 to 18 something.
Okay.
So with that, so it's about time I win something.
Ooh, it's letting me. I got some roster moves I'm going to be making here tonight. You want me to get into my recaps?
Looks like you had starting with Washington.
Yeah. And, you know, the way I feel about all three of my recaps are I would have been happy with the outcome 2 months ago. But right now, when every game matters, you know, Detroit's going to find out who they are in these next few games. You know, so Washington comes to town, and while Detroit dominated the play, Washington just capitalized on their opportunities. I mean, I guess that's the best way to put it. I don't know how else to put it. But, you know, Dylan Strome gets a real nice goal, you know, early in the second. And then, of course, Ovechkin, you know, he was home. He was at his office and scored. I mean, I remember when he scored this, I remember, I think it was Ken saying, how did Ovechkin get left wide open? That's where he lives. And, you know, it's just, to me, it's just Detroit didn't show up the way that they needed to. They did get a lot of shots on goal. They did have some offensive pressure. I mean, they played good. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's why I said I would have been happy 2 months ago with the outcome of this game. You know, Showtime gets a last second garbage goal that literally meant nothing to the outcome of the game because there was no time left to even try to tie the game. But Detroit just, you know, they broke down defensively, and those couple of bad turnovers cost them the game. So turnovers have been an issue from what I've been seeing. Just too many of them, especially along the blue lines. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work out well at all. But, you know, Detroit had to try to bounce back. Pittsburgh was a must-win game because everything comes down to Pittsburgh at this point. The Islanders, you know, nobody can beat the Islanders for some reason these days. I know the Rangers just beat them yesterday in, what, a shootout? The Islanders are playing well. They're probably a lock in the third for them. So Pittsburgh is a team, like you had mentioned D-Law a while back, to be worried about. Well, I was worried about the Islanders because I wanted to lock up the third position. But, yes, now Pittsburgh is a team that we have to contend with. Pittsburgh is a team that is, you know, right there on the doorstep. And, you know, the Wings had to figure out how to win this game. And again, when it really mattered, they fell short. It was just not a good game. High scoring, 6-5 in an overtime. But, you know, it just wasn't. Again, it was another game where when Pittsburgh got on a roll, Detroit, there was nothing Detroit could do. They look lost. They don't look organized out on the ice. They just don't. I feel like I'm repeating this week after week after week, but they just don't look organized. Their passing isn't crisp. That magic and pizzazz that we had when Kane first showed up and him and DeBrincat were doing things, you know, that just kind of fizzled out. And I don't understand that. I don't necessarily buy into that. The Red Wings had to find a way to win. And I guess where I was going with that is, you know, there's a lot of talk about Lalonde. Is he the guy? I mean, yes, it is the fans just being fans. And I've questioned it as well. But when you decline, I mean, Kane and DeBrincat, they were, I mean, they had looked like they had been playing together forever, like they had been. And then all of a sudden, things just kind of died out. I know Larkin got hurt, but now they're not playing on the same line. They don't have that same chemistry. It's, you know, something's just, it's off. And, you know, I think that's where a good coach will come in and identify, you know, not just changing things just to change it, you know, unless you've got a good track history of doing that, but Lalonde does not. But identifying what that factor is that is causing that lack of chemistry, is it off the ice issues? Is it on the ice issues? Is it motivation? I mean, what is it? And a coach should be able to identify and make corrections and rally this team back from the dead. And I just have not seen that. The games that Detroit wins, they're just squeaking by. They're not looking like a playoff team. So, yes, that's why they're on the outside looking in. But, you know, they end up losing, as I had mentioned, to Pittsburgh 6-5 overtime. It was an overtime loss. So we get a point out of it, which is a good thing.
That was an exciting game, actually. It was back and forth.
But the couple of bright spots are Lucas Raymond is evolving before us right now. He is becoming, to me, he almost reminds me of like a Chris Draper-esque. Like he'll get a little dirty, but he doesn't have to get too dirty. But he's skilled enough that he can, you know, drop goals on you. He got a hat trick in this game. You know, he played well. You know, he's got 29 on the season. 2 games to go, he could break 30 goals. Young kid. Great future. But I think he's evolving in front of us right now. I think that he's going to be something that Detroit's going to want to hold on to for a while. And, you know, he's obviously a building block to this team at this point, as we can see. But for me, you know, if he hits 30 goals, he far exceeded what I thought he would do. I thought he was slumping hard, and, you know, he has just found his game in the last, you know, month. It has just been fire for Lucas. But, you know, Larkin, he's got a couple of points in this game as well. So can't not mention him because he's the captain. He's our guy. He's very important to this team. And, you know, he had dropped 30, you know, got his 32nd goal and his 33rd assist in this game. So he's having a good year. And he's missed, you know, considerable time with injuries. And obviously we all know that because the Wings slumped pretty hard. But, you know, I'm not going to, you know, drag this out too much. So I'll get into the one good game of the week was, you know, a 5-4 victory over Toronto. I thought the Wings were going to lose this game. This game is what really makes me question a coach. Because the Wings came out, they actually came out playing well. There's a couple times where Toronto brought it on heavy. Mitch Marner does, you know, get a goal. You know, it wasn't a phenomenal goal, but, you know, nonetheless, it was a goal. It came on the power play, which the Wings have been doing, you know, not too bad. But Alex DeBrincat is starting to find his way. He's been quiet for at least, I think it was 20 games that he hasn't done anything for. But he ends up with a couple this game. Huge. That was a huge monkey off his back. And if anybody needs to get hot right now, it is Alex DeBrincat. We need Alex DeBrincat to find his groove. And we need to win these next two games, and he's going to be a huge key part of that. He was brought to Detroit as a goal scorer. It's time for him to dig deep and be that goal scorer. So he's going to be a huge key, and he got a couple goals this game, which was awesome. You know, that's a huge good start for him. Simon Edvinson gets his first NHL goal. You know, and I like what I'm seeing from him. He's just his patience. He doesn't rush the play. You know, he sees open ice and he's not afraid to take it. But he's not greedy with it where he's coughing the puck up. But he's finding opportunities. He's going to be a great player for the Wings. I think he's got to stay up right now. He's playing too good of hockey. But, you know, Detroit had a 4-1 lead after the first period. DeBrincat had two, Perron and Edvinson. Perron's was kind of an ugly goal that just kind of snuck in, but hey, we'll take him as any way we can get him. But then all of a sudden in the second period, Robertson starts the scoring. Austin Matthews, like, my God, who can stop this guy? Like I've said all year long, D-Law, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And he got a good goal. I mean, that was the most beautiful shot that I think I've seen this year. It was through, like, two people's legs, top corner, bar down. Like he would just, it was like it was on a string. It was unreal. But he gets his 69th of the season. He's chasing 70, but unfortunately he's not going to get it. My concern is, after Detroit came and dropped those four unanswered against Toronto, second period they come out and drop three unanswered against Detroit. This is, now, let me just put this into perspective. This was a do-or-die game for the Red Wings. If you lose this game, you are not in the playoffs. This all but nearly eliminates you from that game. And they had a 3-goal lead. And they blew it. They blew it. They came out flat. They came out unmotivated. Yes, they got the win. I'm not going to sit here and say I don't appreciate the win. I'm not happy. But when you have a 3-goal lead like that, you do not let this happen. And I get it's Toronto. I get it. They're a good team.
Well, that seems like it's going around a lot lately in the NHL, having leads and getting losing them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you can't have that, especially when you're making a run and a push for the playoffs. I mean, do you want to make the playoffs, and do you want to be relevant in the playoffs? I mean, those are two different things. I get it. The Wings aren't going to be relevant in the playoffs, but you never know. Stranger things have happened. But you got to get there first. That's the first step. And playing the way that they're playing is not good enough. You need to get strong. Get strong now. They got to finish these next two games off on overdrive. Like, these are must-win. Not only do they need to win them, they need to dominate. I don't even care if it's a 1-0, 2-1, you know, a 1-point deficit, like a 1-point differential. As long as Detroit is dominating the play to where they look comfortable out there, they're playing with passion, they're playing like just regular Red Wing hockey, like what we saw you know, on that 7-game win streak that we had. I think that that is a team that we need to have show up right now. So we're getting there. But the Wings, they end up squeaking out this win. And, you know, who better than a nice deflection by the captain? Ends it in overtime. Huge win for Detroit. Like I said, big 2 points. They needed them. It was a do or die. And unfortunately, the next 2 games are also do or die. But that was a start. I'll take the win. We dug down. We found a way to get the win. Good teams find ways to win. So we need to just keep that up. We got to dominate in Montreal and hope the cards fall in our favor. So I'm not going to hog the mic anymore. D-Law, take it away with the
press. Well, before I just wanted a couple observations. I have for the Washington game or the Pittsburgh game, and I know Mickey was saying the same thing as far as Mickey Redmond about the turnovers and just they also didn't seem, this was my opinion, they didn't seem like they wanted it, and they just didn't go. They didn't seem like they were wanting to go after the loose pucks and win those battle boards. But enough of that. And I'd also, you know, you mentioned Montreal, and I don't know what they've been out of the playoffs for a long time, and they've been playing pretty good as of late. I think they lost their last game on this year, but they've been winning some games and some, you know, winning some teams that are playoff teams. And I don't, you know, like the same thing with Ottawa and Columbus and Chicago. It's like these teams are bad and they're just fighting for the draft lottery, and they seem to be pulling some, I don't know if it's because they're loose and they don't have to worry about the playoffs. Like some of these teams, you know, they're in a playoff battle, so they have to win, you know, kind of like their backs against the wall. That's the only thing that scares me about these last 2 games for Detroit is, you know, they got to play a team that's, you know, they're playing loose, they're playing probably playing for their job. I wouldn't want to play one of those teams, you know, that's, you know, they're probably playing for their jobs for next season or whatever.
Think about it. You want to make the playoffs. It started a month ago, and the Wings just have not shown up. They haven't been ready. And again, who do you blame? I mean, do you blame the players for coming out flat, or do you blame the coach? I mean, what's is it the chicken or the egg that came first? One of those deals. Is it the coach that's supposed to rally the troops, or is he supposed to just guide them and they self rally?
Yeah, and then you look at these teams like Washington, the Islanders, and Pittsburgh that pretty much have been their playoffs the last month to get into this. They're pushing hard to get into the last playoff spot. So they're, you know, this is like their playoffs. And Detroit they could have had that same, you know, that they could be sitting in a spot and they wouldn't be in the top three. Even if Detroit wouldn't have went in that slide, it might be close to Tampa Bay. They could be sitting comfortably in the number two spot, if not the number one spot. So, you know, they just, They're not quite there yet.
No, but, I agree.
So, rolling in, speaking of not quite there yet, Preds had a huge game, home game against the Jets. They did ultimately clinch a playoff spot. They needed a point in this game. They came out good. You know, they scored the first goal. They controlled the first part of the game. Held the Jets to, you know, no shots in the first 6 minutes, but then the Jets scored on the first 2 shots on goal. Can't really fault Saros. I mean, yeah, giving up 2 goals on the first 2 shots is not your ideal situation. But the Predators just, for some reason, they just, I don't know. I don't know. The Jets just took over. But then, you know, the Predators dominated the second period. You know, they just couldn't score. And despite those 2 goals that I mentioned earlier about Saros going up, he kept them in the game. He was playing really good. But I just don't think the Preds were playing. They weren't mentally consistent. they're giving away pucks again, like they have been all season. And you can't, you know, this is the time of year you got to really clean that stuff up, because you can't do that in the playoffs. You turn the puck over in the playoffs, it's going to be in the back of your net. And they got to clean that up.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
They were taking some questionable penalties. Not questionable penalties as far as it shouldn't have been called a penalty. They were penalties. It was just penalties that you can't take, especially coming into the playoffs, and like the holdings and the hooking, because they weren't moving their feet.
Some of those are tough. But I think what you really have to be cautious of going into the playoffs are, you know, it gets more violent. It gets more physical. Players are playing harder. They're playing for more with more passion. They're playing for the prize. But the ones you have to watch out for, in my opinion, are the retaliatory.
That and the lazy penalties.
Yeah, I agree. Like
actually anytime the retaliatory, but it's more magnified in this time of year than in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to be the initiator. You got to be the initiator.
The passion's going to be much higher. So,
and I know
you take a hard hit, you get up and you retaliate to get that hit. You're going to get called.
Yeah, and I know it's easier said than done, and I'm guilty, and this is just, you know, my.
I mean, we all are in some aspect.
If something happens like that, you need to skate away. I know you're right there in the moment, and it's hard. I've done stupid things, and this is neat. I wasn't even anywhere near this kind of level. You know, not even in our playoffs. It's just a blowout game or whatever. But, you know, it's harder. You really, that's why you see these players do that. Just, you know, something happens and then they skate away. You really have to, because that's, you know, mental toughness. That's mental toughness when they can skate away and they know, or these veterans that know. The younger players don't know that yet, even though I'm sure they're getting guidance from the veterans telling them, you know. But, you know, that's why they're young. But getting back to this game, McCarron drops the gloves with Stanley, although it wasn't very much of a fight. This is early in the third period, trying to get the crowd into it, trying to get the team back in. And one punch is all he needed. And it drops Stanley, kind of lost his balance right at the time that he punched him. Maybe that's why he lost his balance.
You were just telling me how they're not a physical fighting team.
Well, depends on who they are.
Aren't they number two on the list?
Actually, yeah, I think I didn't see that somewhere earlier in the year.
Yeah, I think they're second highest for fights.
Another thing I noticed is the Jets, they embellish a lot. You know, every time somebody even come close to them, they felt something, they would hit the deck. And, you know, a lot of times the refs see that the guy goes down, he can call a penalty, and even though he didn't, you know, they didn't look to see why. But, you know, just, I guess that's part of the gamemanship. But Stastny, he's not sure. I'm sure I said this earlier in the year. I think he might be related to Paul Stastny. No, actually, no. So I think he spells it different. He pinched in on one of the plays. And he ended up scoring. So that was actually one of the good times when you defensemen have to be careful of when to pinch and when not to. And, you know, he's a good young defenseman that they called up a few games ago. And he made the right decision by pinching down. And it's one of the tough things, you know, for a defenseman, especially playing against the Jets, who they are a little bit of a speedy team. And if you do that, if you pinch in and it doesn't, you know, you're chances are you're going to have a forward back there. And the other team knows that. And They get a forward coming back on defense. It's pretty much all over. So you got to pick your spots and when to pinch in, and it worked. And then O'Reilly ended up tying it. And of course, this is a home game. Crowd just ecstatic. I mean, this place was loud. I think one of the announcers and even Bruno said I'd never heard it this loud before. and it's not even the playoffs yet. So that ended that, send it to overtime. So they did. They ended up clinching a spot. That was a Tuesday game, but the Jets ended up winning this game in overtime. Kind of a bad loss, but then again, you look at the Jets and look how where they are, and they're tough. They're a scary team in the playoffs. So to come back on them, I know it was a home game. Probably wouldn't happen if in Winnipeg. Who knows? I don't know. But just the way they come back, scored three goals in the third period, and then but so
makes you worry a little bit.
They did get a point, but you know, and they did clinch, and that's a more you know the big picture. So then they had to go. They had a couple days off. They had to play Friday and Saturday back to back. Friday night was in Chicago. Saturday was their final home game, and. They left Saros, McDonough, and Nyquist in Nashville for roster management against Chicago. Is it one of these, the dreaded maintenance day?
Of course. Give them a break. You don't need them. You need them more come playoff time than you need them right now.
Well, Forsberg was there. He ended up, surprised they didn't leave him back. You know, he was in the hunt for the franchise record, but so he ended up getting a hat trick in this one, which actually got him his 46th goal. It was funny, on the third goal, there was a Predators fan, this is in Chicago, he went to throw the hat, and he kind of missed. It just went like, I like reached like the second row in the stand, the steps. So he kind of like went down, grabbed the hat, and threw it over the glass. And they showed him a little while later in the game, and he's like covering his head like he's all embarrassed. But he had a Forsberg jersey on too, so I thought that was kind of funny. But you know, a couple power play goals in this one, 3 for 3, so that's pretty good on the power play. So nice to see the power play start to kick in. And then the next day, they come back for their fan appreciation night, played at Blue Jackets, built a huge, four. Actually, Columbus scored first, but then, Nashville built a 4-1 lead. And I don't know if they just kind of sat on their heels or not, but Columbus started coming back. Forsberg did end up getting a power play goal for his 47th, so he's actually leading. He leads the Predators in season goal scoring, and he's close to the 50 mark. I don't know if he'll do it because it looks like he's got 50. He needs three more. He's got one game left, and the Predators have never had a 50 goal scorer in their franchise, so. Maybe he's so close, but and then Columbus's rookie ended up with two goals. He gets his first two goals in the season, back to back in the third period. Predators didn't score at all in the third period, but they held on to a 6-4 win. So at least it's nice to see him get the win on their last home game, and so that wraps up my week, and they got one more game, and that's tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. So we'll see what happens in this one. They're sitting with 99 points. So one more point, it can get 100. And the interesting thing is every playoff team in the West has an opportunity to reach 100 points. 100 points it takes to make the playoffs. In the East, it's a lot tighter, and the last playoff spot's got 87, so maybe 90 will do it. I guess you can say the East is more competitive because, I mean, yeah, they don't have as much points. It's tighter. With the 100 points, obviously, you get probably a lot of overtimes. Like the Kings have 11 overtime losses. So they, that's 11 points right there, and then some other teams, so 9 and 7 in the West, Vegas with 8. So there's a lot of points right there for overtime. The Eastern, well, the Islanders have 16. So there's 16 points right there that, you know, they wouldn't, if they didn't have that overtime point thing. It's kind of mind-boggling, actually. You kind of, 3-3, but I've been watching some of these 3-3 overtimes lately, and I mean, a lot, of course, a lot of them are playoff teams, and it's really exciting. You know, a lot of teams, because a lot of their playoff teams, or they need those points. It's exciting, but I don't know if I like the idea of giving up, you know, getting a point. No, because that's extra points. I don't know. I'm still kind of undecided on that part of it. I mean, I liked the 3-3 is definitely exciting. I don't know if it's been like that all season or if it's just because of this time of year. I mean, obviously in the playoffs it's 5-on-5 hockey. But, you know, and speaking of the Islanders, I know we mentioned last week, you know, because last week's show with the Predators Islanders, you know, I mentioned the Islanders had 33 blocks against the Predators. And then in the two games they played the Rangers last week, this past week, one in New York Islanders and one was at the Rangers. The first Rangers game they had 34 blocks and the second one had 25. So, I mean, they're blocking a lot of shots, and they're playing really good defensive. I just think that's probably why, you know, that's why they got their third seed. And kind of rolling into the playoff race before getting some news. Less in the East, still nothing decided in the Atlantic, but Florida's got a chance, even though it's kind of a slim chance. They got one game left, 108 points, and Boston's got two games left, so they have 109. So, I mean, Florida has a chance, but Boston's got two games, so that's probably going to end up, you know, Boston probably going to end up taking that. And then, you know, Toronto sitting third with 102 points. And then in the Metro, looks like the Rangers, Carolina just won earlier today, so that leaves them 111. Rangers with 112. They each have one game left. And I know the Rangers have Ottawa. I mean, you would think it's a gimme, but like I mentioned earlier with Ottawa and Montreal and Colorado, these teams, they're playing really good, and it's probably because they're playing loose. The Rangers probably will end up with that, and then, you know, and also the President's Trophy, but Carolina, they're right there. They can maybe sneak it out. Not sure who the Carolina has. I forgot to look. And then, of course, the Islanders sitting there with third with 90. And then the wild card race, it's even getting more confusing than it was last week. The teams have changed. Now, Tampa Bay still, you know, they got the wild card one slot locked down. And then you got Washington with 87, Detroit and Philly with 87, and Pittsburgh with 86. Pittsburgh got a huge loss to Boston, so that hurt their chances. And
that helped Detroit.
Philadelphia, the only thing that hurts Philadelphia, they got one game left, so they have to hope. But that one game is against Washington. So they have to hope that they win that game. Yeah, and you know, Detroit, they almost had to win both games against Montreal.
They do.
But have to win both games. If they split, they might be able to, because I'm sure they should have the tiebreaker against the Flyers. And Washington, who else does Washington have? I can't remember who. They got Philadelphia and I forgot who else they have. I think it's another decent team. I can't remember. And 90 points is probably going to take the wild card spot too. So a lot of things could change in the next couple of days. probably by Tuesday. I think the East is pretty much done on Tuesday. Wednesday, Penguins and Islanders play Wednesday and the Maple Leafs and Lightning, so that doesn't really, Maple Leafs and Lightning doesn't really affect anything. So it could come down to Wednesday night, but it probably will be decided on Tuesday. Depending on what happens tomorrow night in Pittsburgh, hopefully the Predators can come away with a win.
That'd be helpful. I'd appreciate that.
And also, because I'll be there, so it'd be nice to see them win. Cause I don't think I've seen them. I've seen the Predators play in Pittsburgh at least once, if I think a couple times. I don't think they've won. I think they've won any time I've been in Pittsburgh. So in the West, this is Dallas. They clinched the Western Conference. 111 points, and Winnipeg, Colorado. I thought Colorado was, you know, I thought they would get the second seed, but they dropped a bomb. Well, or they blew up a bomb at home against Winnipeg. 7-0, huge loss, and then they lost. They had a 3-0 lead against Vegas. And then to have a 3-0 lead against Vegas and to lose in overtime. So they're going to play Winnipeg, but they could have had home ice, and now Winnipeg's going to have home ice. There is a slight chance that Colorado can, but they would need Winnipeg to lose both. And Winnipeg has Kraken and the Canucks. So Seattle isn't playing all that great. Vancouver, that's the only hope that Colorado has is for Vancouver. But they Colorado's only got one game, so they'd have to have Winnipeg to lose. Actually, they'd have to have Winnipeg to lose both. Because Winnipeg has a tiebreaker. They beat Colorado three times in the season series. And it's huge because Colorado is 39-1 at home. That is, and they were 19-16-6 on the road. So, I know it's a different story in the playoffs, but, you know, Winnipeg is a tough place to play. Yeah, over in the Pacific, you know, Vancouver, they're still. They'll probably get the number one seed. Edmonton's still got three games left, so they could possibly take it. Not likely, but it's possible. All Vancouver needs is 1 point. And then you got the Kings with 97. They'll probably, well, now Vegas is 1 point behind them with 96. So Vegas could possibly take the third, and Vegas has a game against Anaheim. And I'm not sure who the other team is that they play. But the Predators, you know, the 99 points. Well, 1 point, I think they got the tiebreaker against Vegas. They have four more rows. It goes by games won first. And they have three more wins. So I think the Predators need at least one point to solidify the number one wild card one. And it could come down to, for the wild card two, could possibly be Vegas or LA. So the West, just got to worry about positioning. The East really got to determine the wild card two spot. I think the Islanders pretty much have the third lockdown. So there's still a chance. A couple more. Interesting games coming up. It was a big week this past week. We'll have to wait and see the next couple of days. Calgary and San Jose. I don't know why I was watching this game. It was just Don, and I know they're bad teams. But they played overtime. The whole overtime they played, it was not 3-on-3. I thought that was kind of funny. I think Calgary ended up winning that one, I believe it was, because Calgary had a power play. They got a power play late in third, and so it carried over. So that's why I didn't start 3-on-3. And then when the Pelé was killed, there was no whistle to go back to 3-on-3. So they ended up playing 4-on-4, and then Calgary and eventually scoring. I just thought that was interesting to bring up, that, you know, I don't know how then you see that where they start overtime and they don't play 3-on-3 at all in it.
Yeah, that's different. I don't think I've ever seen that.
You got anything for? I don't think there was any fines or suspensions this week.
Yeah, I didn't see any.
Shattenkirk. It looked like he was just fined unsportsmanlike against the Penguins. Oh, that was okay. That just happened Saturday. It was against the Penguins. He unsportsmanlike conduct on bunting. Though that probably carries over from his Toronto days, Boston, Toronto. So they just gave him a fine for that unsportsmanlike conduct. Yeah. I think that's all we got. So there probably won't be anything, maybe till the playoffs. And an interesting note on the President's Trophy. I know there's a jinx. 29 of the President's Trophy have lost in the playoffs. 8 of them have been in the first round. And the last President's Trophy winner to win the Cup was Chicago in 2012-13, which I think you mentioned last week when I was talking about the longest streaks. And the 94 Rangers won both of them. So that's kind of relevant here, because if the Rangers do end up winning the President's Trophy, although watching them play against the Islanders, they're not a bad team. They don't seem to do very well, like, right in front of their net. I mean, they're good, like, especially on the power play. They're not very good down low. So if you can get the puck down into the area in front of the net, you know, that's probably where you're going to beat the Rangers. You know, you got to get down into the crease area to beat the Rangers, you know, to try to get some goals. That's where you're going to beat them. So moving on with that, just wanted, before we run into some the big news that just come out in the last few days, the NCAA Frozen Four, Michigan did, they were in there. They actually did beat Michigan State. Then they lost to Denver. Denver and Boston College played for the national championship, and Denver won 2-0. So, and Boston University was also in the Frozen Four. So, two Boston area colleges and Denver and Michigan, which usually the top teams that in the Frozen Four pretty much every year. So, congratulations to Denver Pioneers and nice 2-0 shutout over Boston College for the championship. So here we are. The Arizona saga ends. There is no Arizona. Bye-bye. Arizona is officially moving to Salt Lake City. The players were informed Friday night. Friday. I think it was Friday. They were told about that by the GM, and they didn't seem to. You know, they ended up with a couple wins. They ended up losing to Calgary early, just a few minutes ago. So, I mean, they're still scoring goals. So, but they sold a team to the guy who owns the Utah Jazz. Now this is where it gets a little interesting. They're going to be playing in a arena that's only basketball. It was not designed for hockey. They are going to be building a new arena. I think they're actually going to be housing the basketball team and the hockey team, which they're going to be rebranded. So no more of these ugly pajama tops. And they're not going to be called the Coyotes. But the only thing I'm concerned about, you know, as far as, you know, Arizona comes in, you know, they were moved to Winnipeg. And I believe, I forgot about the original arena they played in before the newer one in Phoenix. It was the America West Arena. That was an old, I don't even know if it's still there. So they were in three different buildings in their time in Phoenix area. The fans, they support them for a couple of years in Phoenix, and then they just kind of lost interest, And then obviously a mullet. You can't put the American people in that stadium anyway. So they're struggling to fill the seats. Probably gonna be the same thing in Salt Lake City. Maybe the first couple of years, you know, just like when they moved to Phoenix, you know, because it's new and just the new thing. Well, Vegas is different. They're more of a hockey town, more of a. Well, Vegas is more of a tourism area too, so they get a lot of, you know. There's a lot going on in Vegas, you know. They're right there in the district and everything. Salt Lake City's got skiing. What else do they got? And I don't think they don't have any hockey teams. They got like a minor league team, like not even a pro team. It's like an ECHL team. I don't even know if it's there anymore. But I just don't think.
Better than Arizona.
Maybe for the first couple of years till the novelty wears off. I mean, they do. The only thing they do have going for them is they got a nice, good young team that's really, you know, they're in. Just saw us say they got, and since March, sometime in March, they've scored 80 goals. More, that's the most, and even more than Penguins in Edmonton in Carolina. So, you know, that's a team to watch out for in the future. You know, they get these young stars that can put the puck in the net. So they do have that. I mean, I'll give them a chance, but I just don't. You know, it's gonna be weird seeing a team in Salt Lake City. And I did hear that the Phoenix has an opportunity to get an expansion team if they can build an arena in the next 5 years. So I don't see that happening. But there is a clause in there that will allow them to get an expansion team if they can get an arena in the next 5 years. No, I don't see an expansion. They've already got 32 teams. They can't add one more because then they'll be off balance. It'll be an odd number of teams. I guess we'll have to wait and see. I don't see that happening. I don't know if they're still going to go on. It doesn't make sense for them to bid on that land because the team's gone. Because it's like, I mean, unless, you know, then if you build an arena, there's no guarantee you're going to get an expansion team. So you're going to have an arena sitting there. I mean, what are you going to do with the arena? It'd be pretty big.
I agree. What ended up with Atlanta? What happened with them?
They moved to Winnipeg and nothing ever happened. I don't think they're going to try to get a team. So they just said, okay, we lose a team. It is what it is. We're not going to try to keep them. We're not going to try to get another team. So we'll see what happens. The five-year clock is ticking for Phoenix, and I just don't see that happening. And I don't think it, because if they do, they would have to add another team. And 32 teams is way, in my opinion, it's too many. But 34 would be, I mean, I don't think any of the other leagues have, well, I think football might have 32. I'm not sure about baseball. But it's like, it's because it'll be like college. You know, college has got like 100 teams. You know, that's a totally different thing because, you know, they're colleges. You know, there's a lot of colleges, but I just don't think they can't, the league can't go more than 32. So I don't know why they would have put a clause in for expansion, because I just don't see the NHL expanding. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't, you know, I'm not in the front office of the NHL, so who knows? who knows with Bettman. So that's all we got for that. You know, that's finally, we could finally put that one to bed. The Coyotes saga. We can finally close the door. I guess we can go into our final Red Wings 10 of the season, because, you know, next week will be, you know, obviously playoffs. So this will be the final Red Wings 10 until next, our season 4 coming up in October, you know, next season. So my final Red Wings 10, I got Dallas at number 1. I don't like the way the Rangers have been playing the last 2. Yes, I know the Islanders are really good. You know, they're battling for a spot, but the Rangers did have a couple leads. I got Winnipeg with that huge win against Colorado, and then a couple, you know, the winning overtime win against the Predators. Got that moving to number 2. Rangers slid 3, Boston 4. They stayed the same on mine. Vancouver 5. So I got that moving up a little bit. Edmonton, I got them at 6. They've been winning even without McDavid in the lineup, which, are they doing the maintenance day thing? They say he's injured. They didn't put him on an IR like Vegas, so. And then I got Florida 7, Carolina 8, the Kings 9th, and I just put Predators here 10th just because they played pretty decent, even though, and they did take Winnipeg overtime. So that means Colorado, Vegas, and the Penguins dropped out.
Didn't they drop 1-7-0?
Colorado did to Winnipeg.
Well, here's what I got for you. I'm still going Rangers at the top. Going Rangers, Carolina, Dallas, Florida, Boston, Winnipeg, Colorado, Vancouver, Edmonton, and I'm going to go Nashville. That's what I'm going with this week.
All right, so our predictions, I mean, it's not final by any means, but it's looking like, you know, we pretty much get the Atlantic locked down, which was pretty much locked down. I mean, it could change, so we could still be wrong. And then it looks like I got the Metro unless Carolina takes a top spot, which I don't see that happening, so it looks like I might predict that right. One thing you got wrong, you predicted Pittsburgh to finish 3rd in the Metro. That's not going to happen. The most they can get is 90, and the Islanders have a tiebreaker. Well, they will, or they should. And then, obviously, the wild card, too, we haven't, it's not decided yet, so I don't know. I just want to reiterate that your prediction, you had predicted Detroit, I predicted Pittsburgh, so we could both be wrong in that one. I was way wrong in the Central.
Washington.
It might be. So, yeah, I was way wrong in Central. I had Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg. Totally got that wrong. Well, I remember saying Colorado, Dallas, the winner would win it. So, technically, I could have said I was right, but I thought Colorado was going to win, so I went with that. You had predicted Dallas to win, so you got that right, and you... Colorado, Winnipeg, I mean, it's not final. Colorado could miraculously take 2nd, but it's probably like a 2% chance. I don't know what the percentage chance is. So, that looks like that was wrong. Looks like you probably will have the Pacific right. Granted, if Vancouver, Edmonton, LA finish 1, 2, and 3, and Nashville, Vegas went up with 1 and 2, it could possibly change, but it looks like you're going to be right on that side. And I thought Vegas was going to do, they had a couple big losses there. They are bouncing back and winning. I thought they would take number 2 spot, but that's probably not going to happen. And I thought LA was going to finish 2nd. They're probably going to end up finishing 3rd. So
that's what it's,
we'll see.
And plus, Edmonton's got 1 game up on them too.
Okay, yeah. So, and then our playoff little bracket. Our preview show will probably be Thursday or Friday, since the playoffs start on Saturday. And then our probably regular show again next Sunday, the 28th, probably the week off. Just somebody's going away.
My bad.
Oh, well, it's only the playoffs. Hey, you might as well enjoy it, or you can record on location.
Oh, you never know.
But anyway, we could just take the, who knows, round one might still be going on. So as of right now, probably be Thursday night. I know there's still a couple games left on Thursday, but there's those games might not. The only one that would really matter might is the Canucks Jets and the Oilers Avalanche. The Golden Knights playing the Ducks. It could very well be decided as far as positioning by then. So if we don't do a Thursday, it'll probably be Friday. I know maybe we'll just do the playoff show on Sunday, even though playoffs technically start on Saturday. But we'll see what happens in the next couple of days. AHL update, still the same. Looks like Milwaukee has clinched the division officially with 92 points. Grand Rapids with 82. Five teams have made it in the Central.
Don't we finish off the season against each other?
And, yeah, it looks like, well, the Admirals dropped one to Rockford at Rockford. I see they split this weekend. And then they got Manitoba coming up this week. And Rockford, in Milwaukee, and then they finish up at Grand Rapids next Sunday. And then that's it for the play. Then the playoffs will start. So it really is a kind of a meaningless game. Everything's all, although the Grand Rapids might need that because they're a point ahead of Rockford for the second and three seed. I'm not sure how the seedings as far as playoff. Is it like, because it's like five teams in the division? I'm not sure how that works, but I don't know if the second seed gets home ice, the third might, I don't know. But in any case, you know, you always want to finish as high as you can. So Grand Rapids does have a point ahead of Rockford. I know Milwaukee does have a game against Rockford just before Grand Rapids, so I'm sure the Griffins will be rooting for the Admirals on that game. So that game next week could mean more for the Griffins than it does the Admirals. So we'll see what develops there.
Griffins go.
So, and then by that time they might have some reinforcements. Actually, they could get them as soon as probably Wednesday, depending on what happens with the Wings. I don't know if they do that. They probably do. Who knows? I'm not sure how that works with, you know, calling players down and the waivers and all that stuff. I'm not sure how that, or if they're even close. You would probably want to know more about that with the Wings side. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens with the Wings this week. So they could possibly get some reinforcements back for Wednesday for the Griffins playoff run, which will be good for Detroit in the long run, I think. Get these younger players.
Get some more ice time. Get some
playoff
more
experience. Maybe they'll get hungry for next year.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm hopeful about. I'm just happy that we got Edvinson up right now. He's playing great. But, yeah, honestly, I'm not too caught up with the Griffins right now. I'm waiting until they get into the playoffs here. But I do know that we finish playing you guys in the season.
And if
the 21st.
And depending on if Detroit does end up losing, missing the playoffs, and they do send Edmonton back down to the Griffins, that'll be a good shot in the arm for the Griffins, you know, getting that. So good push. So I guess we're up some weekly picks. Let's see, the Washington, we both on the Detroit side, we were both wrong in that one. Must have picked a win because they lost that game, right? And then I was correct on the Pittsburgh. You were wrong. And then the Toronto game, we were both wrong. We must have picked losses. And then the two Montreal games, just to reiterate, you would call the win for both?
That's what I'm hoping for. I mean, realistically, just for the record, realistically, I'm thinking the Red Wings are probably going to lose in Montreal and win in Detroit. But I'm hoping for two wins, so I'm going to go with two wins.
Well, I picked a win and a loss. I picked the fan appreciation, which is tomorrow. I assume it's a fan appreciation today, their last home game. Is that what they call in Detroit? I know they do everywhere else.
Yeah, they do.
And then I lost at Montreal. So, I know we went through them last week and the week before, I think. So just want to reiterate those. On the Preds side, both got the Winnipeg correct. I was wrong on Chicago, and you were correct. So you had picked a win, which I don't know why I picked. I thought Chicago was a little bit tougher. And then the Columbus home game, we were both right on that one. And we both picked for the final game in Pittsburgh, we both picked a win, and I'm gonna stick with a win for that one. You gonna stick with a win?
Yeah, I think so.
So the Preds side, we obviously got one more. I can I can't tie you. But you beat me 42-41, correct? I mean, if they could move to 43, but you're still gonna beat me by one. If I'm correct, I can say about 50%. You will, even if you're wrong, you'll still be above 50%. So I'm like half and half for the Preds. The Wings had a little different story. I'm almost 60%, 56%. I 45 correct to your 38, and there's still two more. So you could possibly, with two wins, you could possibly hit the 40 mark. And then overall, I'm 86 correct and you're 80 correct. And then we got the playoffs bracket we could fill out in our playoff show coming up. That's all fixed, ready to go. Well, not ready to go in the next couple of days. And I think that's about it for this week. So we'll see you either later this week or next Sunday, and it'll be playoff time. You can get us on our social media, Pred Wings Podcast on Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X and YouTube. We're at Pred Wings Pod, and our email is predwingspodcast@gmail.com. Well, thanks for tuning in to the Pred Wings Podcast.
Good night, Hockey Town.
See ya, Smashville.